Shoot the defense, the best podcast in the world. We're out here.
I keep saying Henry's a forward.
Richie, who's the best striker you played against?
Henry.
And the fact that we are now taking our country and put our country on the map of world soccer, being the first African nation, the third world nation in the whole world to win an Olympic gold medal in soccer, you know, it was unbelievable.
If you're going to take the time to go and get a pig head and break my locker open and wrap my clothes in it, and send in a different message to me.
I've had to protect my family from going out into the street because you'll have random people that just coming up and abusing them racially. Even some old school managers who are British, they still have the same racial undertones like the man in the street who they're trying to condemn.
Hello, welcome to a special edition of Shoot the Defence. I'm your host, Stel, and I'm joined by a gentleman who's played in Cyprus, he's played in Croatia, he's coached in Turkey at Galatasaray. It's Sandro Tomic. Sandro, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, thank you for inviting me. I'm very well, thank you.
Good to hear. And, you know, before recording, we'll talk about the coronavirus and how it's affected you and everyone else. You're in Hungary at the moment. I believe you played for Honved at one point, didn't you? But before we talk about Honved, let's talk about NK Zagreb, which is the first club that you started at. What can you tell us about that era of football? Because I believe it was roughly around about 2001, is that right?
Yeah, we won Champions in 2001, but my career started lots of in Hajduk Split. I started as a young boy from Split in Hajduk, signed with Hajduk two professional contracts. Then I didn't get a really good chance to prove myself there, so I went to Zagreb, and I was in Zagreb for 6 years. This is you have in Zagreb Dinamo Zagreb, and you had before FC Zagreb, and FC Zagreb was one club which it was in all parameters and aspect of football it was third club in Croatia after Dinamo and Hajduk. And we start to build the team, and finally we was always second, third, some cup finals. We also play Euro, but this 2001 we win a championship. We win championship in surprised everybody. This was the first team who win the championship in Croatia and not to be Hajduk or Dinamo Zagreb. Yeah.
That's incredible.
So after this I went to the Debrecen, football club Debrecen. I was there 6 years. I won three titles with them. I was three titles with them, two Super Cup. Then after this, I went to Budapest Honved, where we won the cup. And after this, my career goes far on the east here.
Incredible. Well, before we talk about your career and everything around it, what makes Hajduk Split such a well-run club in terms of its youth academy? Because we've seen so many fantastic footballers over the years break through, like your Slaven Biliches, like your Nikola Jurkans. You know, what makes this club so special when it comes to youth development?
How to tell you, this part of Croatia is specific. This is Dalmatia. This is part of Croatia, which is very specific. And Hajduk have great history. Hajduk is a big club and really have great history in perspective of ex-Yugoslavia, now Croatia, maybe in Europe. But last few years, something going wrong. What was the Hajduk main forte, main power? It was main power that lots of these youngsters from the streets, from this part of Dalmatia, played for Hajduk. And it's not only about football, but it's something about passion. It's something about that you belong somewhere. And Hajduk is the club which every kid from this part of the Croatia want to be part of them, want to be part of the Hajduk, to belong to him. You know, now the last few years something went wrong, very, very wrong. How is this globalization globalization, moving of the players, European Union, blah, 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 blah. Lots of players who don't know what Hajduk means to the people came to the club. We give lots of top players like Robert Jarni, like Alen Bokšić, like Slaven Bilić, like Aljoša Asanović, like Igor Tudor, like Stipe Pletikosa, goalkeeper, like Perisic, even Modric in the youngster, he was in Hajduk and they told him, you are too small for us, and he went to Dinamo Zagreb and make a great career. So like Nikola Kalinic, lots of top European players start in this club, but this club has some tradition, and this tradition, as I said before, during the globalization, during the, you know, bringing the foreigner players who really don't know what Hajduk mean to the people there, it's losing. It's losing this kind of really style. But still, there is lots of talent. There is lots of talent. There is lots of boys who is playing with 19, 20 years old in the first squad. And I believe Hajduk will find a way to be great what he was before, because he had really, really, really great, great, great history in European football.
Absolutely. But the problem that you will find, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, is that it's all about money, isn't it? And when you've got a club like Hajduk Split with their, you know, their history of producing players, you're going to have the big clubs like swarming over them, looking for their best youngsters to take them.
Yes, we were from ex-Yugoslavia, Hajduk Split and Partizan Belgrade was the top of the top, really. Very near to Ajax, to Benfica. But now Dinamo Zagreb take this. Dinamo Zagreb have lots of money. But on the end also, what is very important to say, in our country, the best transfers, the best, you know, incoming money, what the club gets, they get from domestic players. They don't get from the, you know, from the players what they produce, what they make. And this is, everybody knows this, but now in this period, when you're chasing result and you're chasing, you know, something like this, it's very difficult to combine these two things, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So you went to Debrecen, and then afterwards you went to Budapest Honved. Now my friend David Groff used to play for Honved, and he won the title a couple of years ago there.
Yes,
and now he's at Ferencváros now, and he's doing very well. And the thing is, Hungarian football is very underrated. Again, we've seen many footballers come from that region, but perhaps their national team hasn't been great since the 50s. I don't know why that is, but it's just one of those things, I guess.
How to explain this? This is a very complex question and complex statement. What I want to tell you about Hungarians. Hungarians have great football tradition, and from the past, from the Puskas, from the Tetari, from the Esterházy, from this all Nielasi and all these great players, they came to one vacuum, which was, I will tell you, approximately 15-20 years. They couldn't produce good environment, was very poor, and everything was on the bottom of the Europe. Why was happening this, I don't know. Really, I don't know. But people here very, very, very like football. They are in love in this sport. And with Mr. Viktor Orban, when he take over charge of the Hungarian as a prime minister, he start to think a little bit further. He start to invest in environment. Now, if you came to Hungary, you will see it well. New stadiums, even now the new Puskas Stadium, which is top of the top stadium in the Europe. So they start to invest in infrastructure, and they believe infrastructure will give the result, because lots of young boys, even girls, are going to train soccer. I believe Hungarians will arise again, because this environment and this program, what they build in the 5 years, must give result, because they are very talented in the youngsters. For example, U16, U17, U18, they are very talented, even U21. But when they came to the pros, something happened. Maybe style of life, maybe. But this is something what they need to step over. And I believe Hungarians will rise again as a great football nation, what they were before. Yeah.
Mm. So, what would you say was your most memorable moment in Hungary?
My first title with Debrecen. Debrecen never was the champion. We win this title 2004-2005. Then this was dominated title. And this after this we win three titles in a row. After this we played with my ex club Hajduk Split qualification for the Champions League. We killed them. 3-0 in Debrecen, 5-1 we win in Split. This was big disaster for Hajduk, and after we go to Manchester United, this first year and our first qualification for the Champions League, and this really, but you know, I have to tell you, every game, every small moment of the game is bring something which stay like a great memory. For bad things I forget very fast, but good things I remember.
That's understandable. Well, you mentioned Manchester United, and you played them in the Champions League qualifier, wasn't it? And I remember this one because United were going through a bit of a transitional period at the time. Granted, they had the Van der Sar's, Ferdinand's, but Ronaldo had come in, Rooney had come in, and it was, as I said, it was a very difficult time for the club because Chelsea were so dominant at the time. But you guys gone out there, obviously with no pressure. How did you guys approach this game?
Well, we approached this game, we cannot lose nothing. We just can prove ourselves. But this was very, 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 very specific because on the 1-0 for the United, we scored the goal, which was the offside. Yes, no, I don't know. But we scored the goal against United there, and it was offside on the end. But you know, Manchester United, this is top of the top. So in this time, when they have Rio, when they have Vidic, when they have Van der Sar, when they have Van Nistelrooy, when they have Ronaldo, Giggs, Scholes, you know, Silvestre, and he played with the strongest team, because we came him as because Manchester this year he played the last game of qualification for the Champions League. They were fourth, I think, in the league.
Yeah, that's right.
And we came to Mr. Ferguson. Good warming up for the Everton, which he had next Saturday, for example. But a good test for his players. Okay, this is, you know, big experience for us. It was really big experience for us. But after, if you see the chronology of the Debrecen, you will see that after how they built this, after they came to the group stage of the Champions League, they came to the group stage of the UEFA League, you know, they built something. And can you imagine after all this success, after 15 years, to few days ago, they go to the second division, they go out from the first division. So it was big, big, big surprise and big disappointment for all the ex-players and everything. But I believe also Debrecen will as soon as possible came back and take his position in Hungarian football.
I guess it's quite normal for that to happen these days, not so much back in the 70s and 80s where a club will fall from grace like that, but we've seen the likes of Blackburn Rovers, who won the Premier League and then they got relegated twice. So
yes.
I guess it's bad management at the top, it's players coming and going, and perhaps agents getting too much involved in things.
Listen, I have to tell you, agents do their job. They want to sell for any cost players. They want to make fast money, and this is okay. This is understandable from their side, but for my point of view, the main as you speak as a football agent or a manager, as a coaches.
Yeah.
So I told as agents what they do, but for me the main problem is this bad management. You know, bad decision, some bad decisions, maybe bad coach, maybe bad few players. You know, and everything create some kind of bad atmosphere, and because in football, what I learned, atmosphere is very important. You know, if you have healthy changing room, if you have healthy management, then you don't have problem. But when you have one or two, three people who is not satisfied, who are working on their own prosperity, then you will have the problem. This depends on the strength of the team.
Oh, it's understandable. Okay, so you ended up at Hamadan in Iran, second division side.
No, second division. It was first.
First. Oh, they're probably second division now, no?
Now, yes. But it was Premier League.
Premier League?
It was Premier League.
Okay. And was that because Vinko Begovic was there?
Yes, Vinko Begovic is my old coach. And I was in Honved, Budapest Honved. I was in Budapest Honved and I had very bad game. I had 3-year contract in Budapest Honved and I had one very, very, very bad game, and my president, Mr. George Hemingway, who is one of very, very rich guy who came from USA, but he's originally Hungarian.
Okay.
He was so angry on me, and he called me to his office, and he told me, "You are most valuable player here. I pay you too much. You cannot produce like this." But I told him, "Okay, last year I played good. Okay, now I have the bad game. No, no, no. I cannot accept this from you. Blah blah blah." And I told him, "Okay, give me the papers. You know, give me the papers if you don't." Because why? Because Vinko Begovic, a few days ago, he called me, and is there is possibility for me to go there? And I make this like, you know, and really, guy called me to the tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock in his office. I go there. He give me, you know. He break the contract with me, and immediately I call Vinko. I told him, "Vinko, I have the papers in my head." Okay, I send you plane tickets, come to Tehran, and somebody will meet you right here to Canada. And this is how my Iranian story.
That's amazing. That is absolutely brilliant, because we hear a lot of stories like that, but it's not a common thing to be brought out in the open, so to speak. So, yeah, that's a fantastic story.
No, it's really, it's like this, you know. He was the owner of the club, he was president, he can do whatever he wanted. I understand. I really, this was the Super Cup, you know. And with my coach, I have one of my substitute goalkeeper here, and he's a very good guy. And he told me, "Okay, I want to give this one game to him, one game to you. Choose which game you want." And I want to play against Debrecen. And I told him, "Listen, I want Debrecen in Debrecen. I want to win this Super Cup in Debrecen, you know." And I was disaster, you know. Djudjak Balazs, you know him from PSV, Eindhoven, and Dinamo Moscow, and Hungarian national team. Djudji, he killed me. He scored 2 goals through me. You know, we lose 3-0, and the president after, he killed me. And okay, for me, but this is football, you know. This is how the things are. Yeah.
Of course, and
no hard feelings.
Tell me about your time in Tehran, because again, we don't really know too much about football in that region. Okay, we do now, because there are lots of journalists that use social media and they give us some stories, but again, it's still a bit of an untapped, unknown environment for people within Europe.
So you must understand that Iranian people are very talented people. They are love sports, and if Iranian people accept you as a good person, they will give you everything. So I came there, you know, and the first 3 weeks it was a little bit difficult for me, you know, to, because they don't play, they play like in NBA, you know, run and kick, how you say this, without tactic, but technically and physically they are very, very, very good players. And for me it was a little bit strange, you know, because also when you go there, the air, the humidity, the air is different than here. We played with some balls molten, and it was very difficult for me, you know, to get used to it, because we play here with Adidas Nike, but their whole league plays with this molten. I don't know, this is some Japanese. Okay. It was so much lighter, and when this ball came to you, you feel like, I don't know, spaceship came to you. So, no, really, really, it was like this. And for me, it was, in the first few weeks, it was very difficult, you know, to. But okay, after, with this club, who was based in Tehran, named PAS, the government decided to put this club in Hamedan. And this was the big club in Iran. And when they changed location, when they put the club in Hamedan, lots of players go away. And they start to build a new team. And Vinko did a very, very great job there. We finished fifth from the 18 teams. I was the best goalkeeper in the league of the foreigners. It was 12 foreigners goalkeeper in that period in the league. I was the best. I get some kind of award. And after this, I signed the contract more 2 years. But after this, Iranian Football Federation bring one declaration that foreigner goalkeepers cannot be anymore, because they don't have goalkeeper for the national team, they want Iranians, and blah 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 blah. And this is, and then I decided, you know, I was in 36, it's not like today, you know, I was 36, I decided to finish my career, and then I get invitation from one small club in Croatia, second division, friend of me called me to help them. I helped them. We stay in the second division without any problem. I was the coach. I finished my academy and start my career as a coach after this. This was 2010.
Yeah, so because that was the summer that you joined Nea Salamis in Cyprus, and I think Nir Klinger was head coach at the time. Is that right?
Nir Klinger was later.
He was later.
With Hungarian coach Attila Szutka.
Oh, okay.
Nir Klinger was later. Also your homeland friend Steve Konstantinis was there. He is also from UK. He live.
He's in India now, isn't he?
Well, I don't know where he's, you know, the last what I hear, he was in India national team.
Yeah.
But I worked with him also 1 year. I worked with Nir Klinger, I worked with Attila Szutka. Period in Cyprus, it's okay.
Yeah, you see, the thing is, obviously, Cypriot football has changed quite a lot. And, you know, I follow Omoni Nikasi, who won the title that season under Dagis Lemonis. And as I said, the football is evolving out there, but the quality, I don't know. Look, I enjoy watching it. I enjoy the tactical battles. We've got the likes of Henning Berg out there coaching Omonia. You've got Jason Punchin at Buffers. And a lot of clubs have got a bit of money behind them. But at the same time, we don't really know what's going on in the background with a lot of clubs and the way that they're run. I've heard stories that some players haven't been paid for months. I've heard that clubs aren't paying people for accommodation because they've rented the accommodation for players to stay there. Again, these are things that we don't necessarily hear. But then again, it's prevalent throughout the world, isn't it? That sort of thing.
Cypriot League, I believe, from every year and year growing. Now you have with Temur, with Ketsbaya, you have Anorthosis, who is rising again. Apollon will be good. Isle always good. Omonia now with Berg and with all these people who invest in the club is what they were before. Apoel always is strong. Now you have Paphos there, Nea Salamina. So this is Barraca. So there is the clubs, and you know what is the, for me, what is the in Cyprus allowed. I think this is the, I don't know how many countries allowed to have more than 10 foreigner players. When you have more than 10, why they do this? Because they want to be competitive in Europe.
Yeah.
If you remember a few years ago, Apollon came to group stage, AEK Larnaca came to group stage, only somewhere in the group stage of Championship or Europa League. But from my point of view, this is from one perspective as a result, okay. But for development, domestic players and a good national team, this is bad. This is very bad. Because you always valuable some kind of football through the national team. Have the national team is success, this kind of football is good. For example, now Croatia, we were in the World Cup final against France. We make such a good performance, but we have top players. But now when I watch Croatian league, you know, when I watch Croatian league, put this league, these players, put this game in Bundesliga front of 40,000-50,000 people or UK. This is top quality football.
Yeah, that's right.
You understand? This is why for my point of view, there need to be regulation, 5, 6, 10 foreigners, the rest of the mess, and try to develop. Because now this is the future. You must develop. If you just concentrate to buying all the time, like Cypriot, buying, there is no money. There is no money. One president told me in Cyprus, Sandro, you cannot receive how much I can promise you.
Wow.
So, you understand? So...
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned development, because I spoke to Jesper Fredberg a few months ago, who restructured Omonia Nicosia's youth academy, and his ideas have been fantastic. We've seen the likes of Gagouliz breaking through and all these other footballers, and a couple have ended up in Germany at Frankfurt in their academy. So, you know, we're developing players quite well. I think Spoljaric has got his own academy out there. So, again, we're developing players very well, but not at the rates that we would like. But having said that, it's an island of a million people, so you can't expect to find the next Messi in Cyprus.
Yeah. At least, how to tell you, it's not necessarily to be main to be basic. These basic players from academy, but 1, 2, 3. You can put with these experienced guys to learn, because this is the future. Well, every year you put one. This is okay. You know, you for example, you mentioned me Frankfurt. Frankfurt has big targets. Frankfurt is Eintracht is a top club in Germany and always have big targets. And if you now change your politic and you say no, we are investing our academy, give the result, blah blah blah, you know, you will not have result, and people don't have patience. I have a friend of mine in Krasnodar, in Russia, in Krasnodar, who have the best academy for me in the world. I was there, you know, this environment, this is top of the top. Real Madrid don't have this.
Oh, wow.
And really, and Krasnodar, you know, they are not brave enough to put this youngster, but one of two every year they put it, you know, to and these players, you know, they will make some kind of base after 4 or 5 years when they get some kind of experience, you know. Now Dinamo Zagreb coach get fired a few days ago because he put by force youngsters because he was the coach of this young team of Dinamo U19 and they announced him to be the first coach. He put them and immediately Dinamo lose 3 games in Croatia, you know, which is very surprising. And yesterday they changed him. So you understand, this is complex, really complex.
Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of managers are in a lose-lose situation in the sense that they're restricted as to how many players they can sign because of the financial constraints, but then they're under pressure to bring youth into the squad, but then when they play and they don't perform, they're kind of making a rod for their own back.
Yeah, this is about how to say, for one, Alex Ferguson, it was easy to make this. He create top level players. He choose them and he say, okay, this is my generation. They will with the brother Neville's, with the Beckham, with the Scholes and the Giggs and all this. And he was, you know, and he tip very good. But you have lots of situation where the coaches say, listen, me, how to tell you. I like youngsters, and I'm very proud when I see, for example, when I worked in Puskas Academy, it was one young goalkeeper, 16 years old, and I put this goalkeeper next to me. He work every day with me, he play for the second team, blah, blah, blah. Now, he play for the first team. You know, I'm not his coach, but I start something. This same thing happened in Hajduk Split. Same things happened in Hajduk Split when I was there. I had this young goalkeeper Ivo Grbić, who is now in Lokomotiva. I had this Karlo Letica, who is now in Spal. He signed with Club Brugge. These two youngsters I put, you know, in the first team to start to make trainings with us, to give them. But I cannot put them immediately in the fire of the result, of the pressure, because you kill young player like this. You understand? It has to be really, how to say, step by step.
Yeah, step by step. Exactly. And again, youngsters are under a lot of pressure to perform, especially when they're thrown in at the deep end. It's not fair.
Yes, but okay. Listen, when you're looking now in these days, you don't look who is old, who is young, just who is good, who is not good, who can produce for you what you need. Because listen, if you are losing, you are under pressure, so your job is on the table. So you understand, every coach want to protect himself, and this is normal. This is really
not. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so you did your coaching at Hajduk Split as well, because I know you did your coaching at Salamina, and you did also back in Iran. But then you ended up in Turkey at Karabükspor and then Galatasaray under Igor Tudor. So I guess that you guys are good friends.
Yes, we are friends from the Split. Igor Tudor is an amazing guy. He has lots of experience from Juventus, in the era of Lippi, Ancelotti, Capello, and he brings some new things in Croatian football with his energy and the knowledge. And we were together in Split, and he decided that we need to finish. And he stepped down, I go with him. I step down also with him. And I get invitation from Hungarian side, Puskás Academy. Mm. And I called Igor and told him, listen, I get this. He told me, no problem, Sandro, go there. Robert Kjarne was the coach.
Okay.
Robert Kjarne was the coach. And we go there, but we didn't have a great episode here. And but doesn't matter. And after 3 weeks when I signed here the contract, Igor signed for Puck. And he called me and he told me, okay, close the contract and you come with me in the Puck. But Hungarians didn't allow me to do it. And he was in Puck without me. Then, after PAOK, he received a call from Karabükspor. And he called me, I was free, and he called me, you have desire to come with me? I told him, of course. We go there, we bring 17 new players, Turkish players, foreigner players, and we create one great result. We win Beşiktaş, we win Galatasaray, we was a 5 on the table. And Galatasaray noticed this. And Galatasaray... because we have a buyout clause, it was some kind of small money for Galata, and Galata buy us. And we came there as a, because Galatasaray, last 3 years, they didn't want nothing. Team was very bad, team was old, with Snyder, with Podolski, with Hakan Balta, with Sheju, with...
De Jong?
And the team...
Was De Jong
there? Yeah. Listen, they cannot run. Really, they cannot run. And... especially with the Snyder, you know, we have problems. He have great salary, but Snyder, you know, he's big name, and we didn't want to make him bigger than Galatasaray and bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
So we go there in the February, we succeed to bring the team on the at least 4th place to catch the Europe. But then we decide to build a new team. We build a new team for the to be champions, and it. You must understand in this football business with the players, with the agents, with all this negotiation, everything is a little bit slow, was slow in this period. And we bring 3 players in the beginning. We bring Maicon from central defender from Sao Paulo. He was ex-Porto player. We bring Buffet Gomis. He was a Swansea striker.
That's right, yeah.
Marseille, Buffet. And we bring Belhanda, Younes Belhanda from Nice. As a substitute for Snyder. We release Snyder, we release Bruma, we release Podolski, we release lots of players. And with these 3 new players and youngsters, young Turkish players, we couldn't succeed to go further in, European UEFA Cup group, because we lose against the Swedish team, I forget their name.
Was it AIK Solna, no? No.
No. Ostersund, something like this. Doesn't matter. And people was very angry on us. But we told them, okay, we're building the team for the stabilization, to be champion, blah, blah, blah. And then we bring Feguli.
From West Ham, yeah.
Feguli, yes, from West Ham. We bring also a few players from Turkey. We bring Fernando from City, who is now in Sevilla. We bring lots of good players.
Mariano was there as well, wasn't he? The right back from Sevilla.
He is top of the...
Sorry?
He is top player now. Yeah. He's in Sevilla. He's Fernando, who was in Manchester City. He's top player. And, you know, we start very well. We was first on the table with 3-6 points difference. And then something start to happen. From our side, it was very strange to happen. This Mr. Fatih Terim, who is, icon of, yeah. Of Galatasaray, he get fired from the national team because he had one incident in Adana. He had fight with somebody, and this was in the newspaper, and he... Turkish Federation released him. And lots of teams and national teams called Mr. Fatih Terim, but he announced on the TV that he can only come back to Galatasaray. When he made this, there lots of people start to vote against us. And for us, it was really, really, really strange, because this was unbelievable pushing from his side to take over Galatasaray. You cannot understand this. Really, you cannot understand this pressure and this kind of... And unfortunately, it happened that we lost in December one game in Malatya, against Malatyaspor, 2-1. We lost this game, and president came to us and he told, guys, I really, as I want, I cannot protect you anymore. You must go. But we was on the first on the table, you know. We lose the game, but we are first in first. He changed us.
It's incredible.
After Fatih Terim came, and he won the championship with this team, and everything he did, he won the championship with the players, what we bring, what we create the team, and everything. So it was really, really, really strange situation this time in Galatasaray.
But it's like you said, because of the power that Fatih Terim had, it's almost as like Alex Ferguson turning around saying to Manchester United, well, I want the job now, and they'll get rid of Solskjaer.
Yeah. This is really, you cannot imagine when Fatih Terim came. Listen, we won the game. We came with the bus from the airport to our camp. A few thousand people wait us and Tudor Istifa. That means Tudor, go out.
Wow.
You know, and they take the picture of Fatih Terim. You know,
like a poster, like a banner.
Yes, like a poster of Fatih Terim. You know, and this was for us. You know, but we have great sport director, Mr. Cenk Ergun, and he protect us. Too much, but on the end he couldn't because you know the pressure came even from the upstairs. What can you do?
Yeah. Well, you were coaching there with Taffarel, is that right? And
No. The situation was like this. I was there. I came there before me. It was what his name? Frank.
The Dutch. It was at United, Dutch, wasn't he?
Yes, he was in United. And Frank, you know, Muslera is a specific goalkeeper. I also bring Cedric Arasso. I bring
from
Cedric
Arasso
to be substitute of Muslera. We have two young Turkish goalkeeper. We have Cenk Gönül who went to Malaga after. But what I want to tell you. Frank have one specific way of work. He work with the foot a lot about goalkeeper, how to pitch to play, to everything. But Muslera is one specific goalkeeper. He is a physical goalkeeper. He want to fly. He want to dive. He want to, you know, to make goalkeeper training. And I came there. We have a lot of speak. My style is the same style as a Taffarel, for example, because Taffarel he had a fight with the president who was in this time. He couldn't accept some things, and Taffarel left to Brazilian national team. And I came in this vacuum. I came in this vacuum to return Muslera, because Muslera told me, Sandro, I feel very bad. I feel without confidence, without anything. Frank killed me with this his exercises. In 1 week, I die maybe 3-4 times, and he wants from me. To be a goalkeeper, which I'm not. I'm 33 years old, 32 years old. I cannot change myself. Please, what is your style? And I explain to him, okay, Fernando, this is my style. Yes, this is same as a style as a Tafo. And listen, I return him a little bit to be old one. This is. I had very good assistant of me, Mr. Fadel Koshuta. Now he's first coach of the goalkeeper of Galatasaray, because Tafo go back to Brazil because of the corona, and now Fadel is taking over of the Muslera. This is something specific. Galatasaray is really specific club. It's a big pressure, but even with the pressure, this is the club which have every parameters to be in the top 20 clubs in the Europe. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, going back to what you said about the coaching styles and Franz Hoek, what he did with Muslera. Now, forgive me if I'm wrong, but he was at Manchester United with Van Gaal, and we saw the best of David De Gea at Manchester United under Van Gaal and a bit under Jose Mourinho, but I think his best time was under Van Gaal. Now, you're talking about coaching styles, and I'll be 100% honest with you. I've had numerous discussions this week about David De Gea's Manchester United future, and I said perhaps it's time for him to move on. Because at the end of the day, he's making too many mistakes. I don't think he's got a command of his area. He doesn't... Look, I'm a little bit biased because I've been a Peter Schmeichel fan. Peter Schmeichel is my favourite goalkeeper ever.
Me too. I'm Peter fan, yes.
Yeah? So he could... He was... He had a presence. He came out to catch the ball. His starting position was great. He was never beaten at his near post. David De Gea, he seems to have regressed over the past year or so. Now, I don't know whether it's because he's got problems, maybe, I don't know, personal problems, or maybe he just doesn't want to be at Manchester United. But when you talk about the goalkeeping styles, it seems to me that his best time at United was under Van Gaal, when he was expected to pass the ball out and all that kind of stuff. But now he's expected to be a proper goalkeeper. He's not doing it.
I will tell you like this. You mentioned right. When Mr. Ferguson saw him, but when he came in the Van Gaal era, he was hungry. He was to prove himself. He was I want to be the best goalkeeper in the world. Mm. How the time passed. He is more and more, how to say, for the goalkeeper is the most dangerous when you are too much self-confident.
Mm.
When you are too much self-confident, for the goalkeeper is the most. Why? Because for us, it's more psychology. Yes, physical work. Okay, every coach have his own style. This is no problem. But psychologically, this is everybody must to have the same. You know, for example, you have the David De Gea. He is the project of the club. He is the number one. He is this. You must to put everything about psychology to keep this goalkeeper happy, to keep him, in the best produce for the club. Last period, something happened. I watched the game. Also, I see the goals out here. See, every goalkeeper received the goals. This is no problem. And which goalkeeper is not receiving the goal, he will never teach. But something happened with him because he is stressed. He is under some kind of stress, under something. And I really don't know what's going on. But for me, this is more psychologically problem because I don't believe that they have bad work. So maybe sometimes it's bitter of luck. Sometimes it's the ball which has to go in the post. When you touch the ball, go in the post, go out, maybe go back on his... He's back and go into the goal. So sometimes it's really bitter of luck. But psychologically, goalkeeper must to be, not too scared for his position, but to be, to always to fight for his position.
Yeah.
If he don't fight for his position, he will be too self-confident. He will, I can do whatever I want. Mm. This is bad situation. I had this in my life and I learned from this. I learned from myself, you know, not from somebody else. I had this in Debrecen when I was too much confident, too much whatever I do, people love me, everybody loves me, but it's not true, you know.
So tell me something, Sandro. I had this discussion with a friend of mine last night and I said, okay, I know that De Gea hasn't been doing great lately and perhaps it is time for him to move on, but it's been a bit unfair for him because over the years at United, he hasn't had a settled defence. There's been different defensive combinations. It might be Rojo and Blint. It might be Smalling and Jones. It might be Smalling and Bailly. It might be Bailly and Lindelof. So as a goalkeeper, you need to have that settled defence in front of you to have that confidence, no?
Yes, this is everything is complex. Everything is part with each other. Also, you also need to have... good fullbacks. You also need to have good defensive midfielder who will maybe cover something when the center. But how to tell you, in this era, in this modern football era, it really doesn't matter. Believe me, it really doesn't matter. Okay, when you have standardization, because now everything moving so fast. That's clubs losing standardization. There is no... You always some kind of changing. He played with one central defender 5-6 games, came some other central defender. He played... Yes, I agree. Standardization is very important in football. But how now, let's say, modern football, everything moving so fast, this is how the goalkeepers have to be... like a chameleons, you know. Mm. they must adapt to the situation in a bit of second, you know. This is doesn't matter who play, do your job. Okay, listen, when the goalkeeper I read Oliver Kahn, when he said, yeah, every time when I receive the goal I feel that somebody made the scratch on my heart, and this is really true. Every goal is pain, but not every goal is pain. what you can save, this is pain. What you cannot save, what, forget and go further.
That's right.
But my point of view, yes. My point of view, yes. Standardization is important, but the thing is that you must to change yourself fast, because now this is fast time in the football. Courtois, he came to Real Madrid. He had very poor, poor performance.
Yeah.
But he must to change. Okay, he's big name. Who must to be for everybody? How to say for everybody? Who must to be some kind of picture? What they need to see? This is Jan Oblak. He came from Benfica to one top club in Atletico Madrid, and immediately he started to play top of the top. So this is how goalkeeper is in this specific area. You must choose goalkeeper who will bring you peace to the team. That's it.
The thing is, Sandro, the game has evolved so much, whereas now we're seeing teams building from the back, and it's almost as if the goalkeepers need to be able to pass the ball really well. We see Edison, we see Alisson, we've seen, Leno in goal for Arsenal, Ter Stegen, Manuel Neuer. I seem to remember Fabian Barthez being one of the first goalkeepers to do something like that. But in terms of the evolution of the game and the rule changes, they've really affected goalkeepers, haven't they?
Yes, after World Cup 19 in Italy, I teach all my life, central backhand ball, give me back ball, I take in my hands and this. We didn't play football.
Mm.
We was the goalkeepers, We didn't play football. And we was teaching like this. Even Barthez, who is my age, was teach like this. And Barthez also struggled with this ball back and all this.
Yeah, is that possible? Yeah.
But now, in area of the training, in area of the goalkeepers are so much involved in the football. They playing Rondo. They playing, Even me, I like to put my goalkeeper sometimes with the team. When they have some kind of dynamic technique or something like this, to be part of the team, to be part of the footwork. Footwork is very, very, very implemented in the sphere of the goalkeeping. This is why I told you, Frank. I appreciate. I honored this kind of style of the work, but it has to be, one part, not 100%.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
One part of the training, yes. One part of the training, yes. And but not the main part. Now, when in academies, goalkeepers are playing the football, and this is how they teach now the goalkeepers in this time. How we teach the goalkeepers in this time. Before, it wasn't a situation like this.
Well, tell you what, Sandro, I'd like to watch one of your training sessions one day. Maybe you can send me a video, see what you guys are doing, because I'm very interested.
I think you can find there is some in YouTube.
Yeah?
I will send you. What I involved lots of in my training session, when I one day it's especially we go I need box ring. I need box. I need a coach of the boxing.
Okay.
And I like to bring goalkeepers because
it's the footwork, isn't it?
About the footwork, yeah. About footwork, about physical, about, box gives something, what I like to say, some kind of bravery, because every goalkeeper is scared of the punch, because they are going with the head. And believe me, it's always 50-50. But in box, when you're coaching goalkeepers with the trainer, with the coach of the box coach, when he punched them, when they feel the punch, after this, he will not have scared to go out to take the high balls or something like this. Yeah. Box is very good, I put the box in the part of my training every time. Every time. One time per week, it has to be obligatory,
Brilliant. Well, Sandro, one more thing before I let you go. Tell me what you're doing with yourself now. Obviously, you're back in Budapest because of COVID, but what are you doing coaching-wise?
Me, personally, now I am, free. We was in Turkmenistan, one Croatian coach, Ante Miše, and me. We went, just two of us, we went to Turkmenistan to try to develop a little bit football and to see, for the qualification of the World Cup 2000. in Qatar, I don't know, 2022, 23 minutes. So anyway, we go there, we take over national team, we played five games. After five games, we are on the first place. Before, yes, one game less have South Korea, but we are with the 9 points, South Korea, 8 points, North Korea, 8 points, Lebanon, 7 points, and Sri Lanka, 0 points. For us, for our perspective, this is a very, very good achievement, very good result for one small country as a Turkmenistan, because nobody hear about this, but in short time we create something. And we had contract 1+1. But now, in this time of the COVID, we didn't activate this second year because we don't know, you know, nobody want to pay nobody if there is no producing, if there is no sport, football. So we decide to come home. Now we are waiting what will be, but now I'm free. I'm studying, I'm preparing myself. In September, I go to upgrade my license in Croatian Academy. So I'm studying, I'm teaching, I'm looking football, speaking with the people, and you know, some clubs called me. I have one request from Slovenia. I have one request from Kazakhstan. I will check where should I continue my career and to see.
Brilliant. Well, Sandra, thank you ever so much for your time. Hopefully we can do this again, and maybe we can, you know, talk more about goalkeeping, coaching and all that kind of stuff in future episodes, because it really interests me, because I hear a lot about coaching the outfield players, but there isn't much emphasis on goalkeeper coaching. And as I said, there's different levels of coaching and the way that the game has evolved. It's very interesting to find out how you guys work.
Yeah, this is very specific, because I always say 90% of the football players cannot make the goalkeeper training what the goalkeeper do. Why? Because for us it's so much physical. I like to compare with swimming, you know, or with athletic sprint. How to tell you? For one, two reaction on the training of the game, for one or two, three reaction of the game, you have to train like an animal. Yeah. Because in this moment, you have to give your best. Why? Because, for example, sprinters of the swimming, they are swimming for 10 kilometers in 50-meter swimming pool. For 10 kilometers, they are swimming to be ready for 50 meter of the sprint. You know, this is same like for example, in goalkeeping. You are training very, 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 very hard. Why? Because mentally, mentally, physically, functionally, you have to be on the top level when this situation came to you. So this is why our trainings are so hard, are so, how to say, specific.
Yeah.
Because we have everything. We have gymnastic, we have golf, we have football, we have handball, we have lots of things inside of the goalkeeping training.
Brilliant. Again, Sandra, thanks for your time. Really, really appreciate it. And we'll do this again sometime.
Brilliant. Thank you, Stel. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for calling me. It was very nice to speak. I'm available anytime. What you need from me, you can call.
Thank you very much, Sandra. Really appreciate it, mate. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.